Well, it is good to see you all here this morning. As I said, Jason is inbound, so if I seem a little discombobulated and whatever, I'm going to use that as my excuse. Any excuse in a storm. But one other announcement I wanted to make, if you please note that on Good Friday, I usually like to have some sort of a service, do a kind of an intimate communion service. This year, what I've decided I would like to do is we will be having a screening of the movie The Passion, and then following that, we will have a communion service. So I encourage you, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to bring friends. We'll screen it here in the sanctuary, and we'll have communion afterwards. And if anybody has questions, if you bring somebody who has questions about what they just watched, I'll be happy to answer them. But it's certainly going to be a wonderful opportunity for you to bring somebody to church and have them see the gospel in a way that is very, very powerful. With very low threat threshold. It's Friday night. It's a movie at church. People don't... Yes, ma'am? Oh, you want me to quit already? No. 7 p.m. It will be at 7 p.m. It's in the bulletin. So any other details, please check the bulletin. It'll be Friday, April 6th. Good Friday. Okay. And as I said, well, we will have a communion service following this. We're not going to be, it's something that you can bring a non-Christian to that without them feeling too bad. I'm going to try to really work hard on making it be something that they're not going to feel pressured or uncomfortable in. Now, if the Holy Spirit makes them uncomfortable, that's not my fault. I'm going to work real hard not to do it the other way. Okay. We're going to look at our diet today, but we're not talking about our diet of food. We're talking about our spiritual diet here. So if you join with me in looking in the book of Hebrews, we're going to start chapter 5, verse 11, and we'll read through verse 3 of chapter 6. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you elementary truths about God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear what it is you would have for us this day. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me. Lord, that I wouldn't be preaching out of myself, but instead be preaching out of the filling of the Holy Spirit and out of the Word and out of you and your strength and your truth. Lord, I pray that you would select each and every word and that the ears of the people here would only hear those things which are in accord with you and your will. That anything else would fall upon deaf ears and not be remembered. Lord, I pray that everyone, might be encouraged and blessed, and that each one might be drawn closer to you. Lord, we pray that it's your name that it would be lifted up and glorified this day. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The writer of Hebrews here makes a pretty strong statement. It's literally, might be considered a literary slap in the face. In this letter, he goes and gives him a pretty hard smack. You say, well, where? Well, this, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. This is an accusation. It's not just a statement of, oh, well, you haven't progressed as far as you ought to. This is, you people need to shape up. That's what he's saying. He's getting in their face. And he's saying, no, you're not doing it right. You're acting infantile. Nobody likes to hear that. I don't. Somebody comes up and says, you're acting like a child. Like, I am not. Okay. We all do that on occasion. We are all sometimes childish. Praise the Lord. And some things we are meant to be childish. We are to come to Him as children. Yes. With hearts like children. With attitudes of children. But yet we are supposed to grow in our maturity. It is our spiritual maturity. Just like physical maturity. How many of you, if you saw a 6-month-old baby breastfeeding, would think there's anything wrong with that? You'd all say, perfectly normal, good thing. How many of you saw a 16-year-old breastfeeding would say, hey, we got a problem here? Still drinking milk. They didn't have formula. Okay? They didn't go down to the store to get it. It was mama's milk. See, you're still at your mother's breast. You should have been weaned from this by now. You ought to be a teacher. Now, a teacher is not just somebody who has learned the lesson, but somebody who has mastered the lesson. The best teachers, anyways, are people who have mastered the lesson. I've been taught by people who don't know the lesson. And usually those teach instruction periods have not gone well. I have been the person who's not known the lesson. And those instruction periods have not gone well. Well, this is what's going on. The writer of Hebrews is talking to them and saying, hey, you guys are supposed to be mature. You should be teachers. And yet you're acting like infants, like newborn believers. You're still dealing with this stuff over here. And what is this stuff? Repentance from sin. Faith in God. Baptism. Laying out of hands. Resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. You say, well, that doesn't sound like basic to me. Well, if it doesn't sound like basic to you, then maybe this letter is a little bit more directed to you than you might have thought. But do consider this. He's writing to the Hebrews. The Hebrews who have been converted and received Christ as their Lord and Savior, specifically. That means they would have grown up with these teachings. And it would have been something that was common to them. Just as they're, that they just would have absorbed through being around it all their life. The teachings of Jesus were not in any way in conflict to the Scriptures that the Hebrews knew. In fact, they were the fulfillment of it. So, these basic teachings, if you will, similar to, you know, the basic things that a child who grew up on a farm would know about. Now, some of you who didn't grow up on a farm might not know about that. Where do chickens come from? Or, I don't know. Which came first, chicken or the egg? Any farm kid will tell you you need a chicken before you can get an egg. And they know where they come from. I have a stepsister who seriously did not believe that hamburger came from a cow. Now, any farm kid knows that's where it comes from. That's what the 4-H cow is for. They raise up and then they sell it. That's what they do. That's what they learn. It's something they grew up in. An infant receives milk, and these basic things happen, and they're familiar with the elementary teachings. And people who stay in nothing but the elementary teachings are acting like infants. Now, the basics, the elementary teachings, are things that everybody goes back to. In football, in baseball, in every major sport, you have a preseason. You have a time where they go back to camp and they drill in the basics. But after they've brushed up on the basics, then they get into the meat, into the deep stuff. And after we've brushed up on our basics, we're supposed to be getting into the deeper teachings of righteousness. Righteousness is listed as one of those things which those who are infants, God, don't know about. And isn't that true? Why does God allow this to happen? Why does that happen? And who does that type of thing come from? Usually people who are new in the faith or don't know Jesus at all, doesn't come from the mature believer. This comes from somebody who is immature. Say, well, I've had that question. We've all had the question. The question is, do you still have it? You should have received instruction by now to have gone through that and learned that. Be in the teachings of righteousness, which when we learn about righteousness, we find that we're not righteous, but God is. And that we're not to be judging Him. He judges us. And that we don't know the whole situation. Now, those who are more mature can receive and accept some of this. And, you know, I'm just touching on it at this point because basically the warning here is that Paul is taught, or not Paul, I'm sorry, we don't know it was Paul, it could have been, whoever the writer of Hebrews was, is warning them that strap up your seatbelt, we're going in. And now you've been getting nothing but milk. You should be eating solid food. You should be eating meat. And meat's coming. We're going to talk about it next, the Lord willing. And he dives in. We're not going to look at that passage today. We're going to look at that next week. But I want you to read it this week. Chapter 6, verse 4, through the end. Not through the end, but through verse 12. 4 through 12. I'm giving you homework this week. Now, supposedly, you were all supposed to be reading the entirety of Hebrews every week. Anybody still doing that? Okay. I know I said that the first week and the second week, but let's try to read Hebrews. At least be reading the passage that we're going to be going to. Hebrews is deep stuff. And that's the injunction here, this command that, or I'm sorry, not command, but accusation of we are not spiritually mature. It is one which can be overcome. How do you get a child to go from breast milk to steak? Do you just say, oh, no more mom, here we go, here's a T-bone, kid, cut it up and chew it? Usually not. There's some intermediary steps. We have a couple of young ones that are around here, and their parents are usually quite willing to tell those of us who no longer have little ones, no, don't give my kids that yet. They're not ready for that. They're not supposed to get that. And that's okay, because that's what the parent's supposed to do. But yet they are giving them things to chew on. When I was a youngin', little, still in the formula, I got steak bones and chicken bones to gnaw on. It was good for teething. Just the bone. You know, no meat on it. Just it's good for teething. But they didn't give me a steak. They just gave me a bone. Now, there's some foods that we shouldn't get till we're bigger, like things that are choking hazards. We got teeth to chew on it. But we've all garnered teeth. Everybody here in this room that I can see has got teeth. Some of them aren't all their own, but they got them. We got teeth, and we need to use them in order to become ready to take that solid food. But solid food is the mature who have, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. See, the child gets better at eating solid food the more you give them opportunities to eat solid food. Give a kid food the first time and say, okay, eat. You think they eat by osmosis. They're just covered with it. How much gets in the mouth is kind of questionable. You're not quite sure how much they actually ate. But they must eat by osmosis because most of them make it. If you give them enough food, eventually most of it gets, enough of it gets in the mouth. Some of us still have problems. You can check Ed and I out. When we eat, our wives complain because we usually have, you know, spill all over ourselves. You know, it happens, you know. But my wife says, no, you can't eat that. You got to change your clothes. Sometimes we spill. But I've been doing it for a while now, so I still get most of it in. But it's through practice. See, if you try to take too much solid food without having tried it out, do a little bit at a time, it becomes too much and it can cause digestive issues. Now, that's uncomfortable. It's painful. And, I mean, seriously, it can even lead this to death if not treated. So we need to step in and eat these things. We need to practice so that our body gets used to it. How do we practice these more mature beliefs? Studying them. By studying them, by reading it. By not focusing on just the basics, but by moving into teachings on righteousness and on the person of Jesus and moving into these things that are more than just basic, but that are indeed more mature. Now, we're not talking about these rabbit trails that some people come out and try to bring you that actually take you away from God and take you away from Christ. Those aren't teachings of maturity. Those are teachings which lead people back to immaturity and make them dependent upon somebody else. And that is very bad. And you see that happen in churches which we label cults. This is what David Koresh did. This is what many people have done. They have these teachings where you look at them, where they say, well, this is the mature belief. Say, well, what does this have to do with God? Well, let me explain it to you. And you look at the Bible and you look at that and it just doesn't come together. That's not mature teaching. That is poor instruction. That is basically trying to handicap the student and turn them into something which does not honor and glorify God. And that's the devil working in people's lives. So we need to watch against that. Just because somebody says that this is the more mature belief doesn't necessarily make it so. I want to put that warning out there. We don't want to be falling into the traps that would lead people into following cults and false teachers. For the Scripture does tell us that those are going to be there. But if you find it here in this book, and the teaching is one which God says, this is good, then you can trust it to be to being true. You can trust it to being good food for you. These extra biblical teachings, which people have, they take a springboard and take a teaching and then they twist it and take it out of context. A teaching taken out of context and makes a left turn is not a teaching of God. So while we have a warning here that we need to get into the Word and we need to train ourselves up in it by using it. So how am I going to do that? You're going to do Bible studies. You're going to read Scripture. You're going to maybe do some word studies. Maybe you need to get yourself a notebook and jot yourself some notes. Don't expect everything to be handed to you on a platter and said, this is what the Word of God means. You need to get out the Word of God and dig into it yourself. Chew on it. Digest it. Now, what do I use to begin to tell whether it's the Word of God? The Word of God. God's Bible. Read it in context. Somebody says, well, this verse means this. You said, okay, let me go read that word. And you just don't read just the verse. Read the whole thing. Read the context. Because there's a few things in a few places where things that are said that are not in the Bible that are not God's teaching, but it's God sharing us what others have said about Him. And then He comes along and says, but they're wrong. Chew on God's Word. Get into it. There isn't a one of us that isn't ready for more solid food. If all you've had is milk to this point, you are ready for more solid food than what you currently have. Don't take too much at once. Don't sit down and say, you know what? I haven't grown in my maturity. I'm now going to read the entire Bible and write my own commentary. That might be a bit much to start with. Trying to write a commentary on one book might be a bit much. Unless, of course, you're going for Philemon or something. Philemon. Philemon. Okay. Never mind. Just take a passage, a chapter. Study it. And again, my injunction to you each week is to be looking at where I'm going, where we're going as a group. So that when I get up here and I preach on Sunday morning, you say, Pastor, I read the passage this last week, and what you said, I have no idea where you got that from. Maybe you want to read it again. Or else you can come up to me and say, you know, I read that this week, and, you know, I was kind of thinking maybe some of that. Or, now that you say that, I see that. Or, I was wondering why you didn't mention this. Feel free. I'm not going to mention everything I see in a passage every week, because if I did, we would only be able to move forward, you know, half a verse at a time. And I much prefer to take the overall. We're not doing the in-depth mining that we could be, though we are doing a little bit deeper digging than sometimes we want. The writer here tells us that we're going to do these things. We're going to get in and we're going to... He's going to instruct us right now and try to change the situation of just milk. And now we're going to move into some teachings on maturity. And we're going to do this, God permitting. And that's a good starting point. Is, I'm going to get to know more about you, Lord, you permitting. To just have that attitude. That this is where I'm going to go today. Lord, I want to find out some more about you. If it's your will, might I do so? I would like to have a better understanding of this teaching. Get specific. Pray it. Seek it. Change your diet. If your diet has been all milk, are you just taking what's given to you? Are you not seeking to study it at all in depth yourself? Then it's milk. If you aren't having to engage your own brain cells, if you're not chewing on the Word, then you're receiving milk. You need to get in there and chew on it. Now, don't set up again to read, to chew the whole book at one time. And if you've not been chewing much, scoff with a little bit. But get into it and do it. And through more and more, you train yourself up by constant use of training themselves to be able to distinguish good from evil. I get phone calls from my boys yet, which I love to get. Occasionally it's, how do I know? Well, have you been reading the Word? Have you been praying? Yeah? Well, which choice gives you peace? Which choice do you feel God's telling you? Well, I think it's this. I said, well, then do it. See, if he's been studying the Word, if he's been praying, been worshiping, then he should be able to determine good from evil. Even though if he may not recognize the rationale of how you do it. I had that issue as a student. It was, well, what's this answer to this math problem? I could give the answer, but then when they wanted to see the work, I had an issue. Like, well, how do you get the answer? I don't know, I just know it's right. I was right. Well, did you copy? No. And they give you a test and you do it and you come out. Well, it looks right. It feels right. Eventually, I got to the point where I could do the proof. But I could do the answer before I could do the proof. Sometimes the maturity jumps that way. We can do the discernment before we realize why. How? Through practice, through chewing on it, through getting through it. So again, today, expect ourselves, make commitment, prepare to become more mature, to seek to become more mature, God permitting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, you permitting, we will come to know it more and come to know you better. Or that we would be able to tell good from evil. That we would be able to know the truth. Father, show us each one how we can move from milk to meat. Move from basic teachings to more mature teachings, and thereby become more mature ourselves. Lord, we don't want to be arrested as children with our growth stopped. But instead, we want to grow and mature, becoming more and more conformed into the image of Christ. For that is the command that you've given us in Scripture. We seek to submit ourselves to it. So, Father, this day, show us what meat you would have us to chew on, that we might mature in our faith and better serve you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close by singing, God is